Hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for joining me in the Bible study today. What we're going to do right now is finish up chapter 4 of Ephesians. In the previous study, which I hope you've had a chance to listen to, we got down to verse 28, but we didn't quite get finished. And I just wanted to add a few more thoughts to wrap up chapter 4. So let's pray before we study this. Father, thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity and the freedom we have to open your word. Help us to realize freshly right now that this is your word. It's infallible. It's powerful. It's inerrant. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Help us to let you penetrate our own hearts and minds and souls with your truth, your word, and make us more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. So verse 28 says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." Obviously, when we steal, when we take something that doesn't belong to us, our attitude is, well, I deserve to have what you've got. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. And God wants us to totally reverse that. He doesn't just want us to say, no, what's yours is not mine, I'm not going to take it. No, he wants us to go exactly the opposite and say, not only that, but what's mine is yours, and I'm willing to share it. So to stop stealing means we need to provide for our own wants and needs the best we can, as God gives us resources and ability to do that. And then maybe have to change our wants and needs to fit what we can afford. But we don't take it from others. But we don't stop there. The next step is to make enough money myself that I can set aside some so that I can give it to others who have needs. I can share it with others. So sharing is a good thing when we give to others. It's a bad thing when we take from others and say, well, I deserve this. So when it comes to material things, Christians have to move from being constant takers to constant givers. Now, obviously, there are tons and tons of needs all around us, and we can't meet them all. So we just ask God, day by day, moment by moment, open our eyes, help us to see the needs that you want us to be involved in to meet next. I can't meet all the needs. I can't meet everybody's needs, but I can meet some needs. So just please lead me, Lord, and he will. Look at verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Now that includes, of course, profane and filthy talk, but it's not limited to that. There are all kinds of unwholesome words that can come out of our mouths that tear people down, discourage people, hurt people. God says, no, I want your words to, he used the word edify here. Edify means build up. Don't tear down, build up. I talked about this a little bit more recently in a YouTube video in my Questions for Grandpa playlist, if you want to check it out. The question is, does God really care if I cuss a little bit when things go wrong? But God wants our words to be powerful things in the lives of others, to build them up, to strengthen them, to help them be more like Jesus, certainly not to tear them down, not to hurt. Verse 30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." There are many, many verses in Scripture that teach us clearly that the Holy Spirit is not just a divine force of some kind, a power that emanates from God the Father. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. There's no way you can cause a force or a thing of any kind to grieve. People grieve. The Holy Spirit grieves because he's a person. So how does that happen? How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, there are lots of things we could say here. One of the things certainly is by focusing too much on material things instead of the things of God. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Obviously, when we neglect God's word, that grieves the Holy Spirit. When we neglect prayer and praise and worship, that grieves the Holy Spirit. When we feel like we've got all kinds of time for the fun things of life, whether it's to watch TV or play games or go places, be with our friends, leaving God out. I mean, if your closest family members and your closest friends leave you out, if you're with them and they totally ignore you, totally leave you out of everything they do, you're going to grieve too, aren't you? Grieves the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon has a good quote here. He said, "I think I now see the Spirit of God grieving. When you're sitting down to read a novel, and there's your Bible unread. Perhaps you take down some books of travels, and you forget that you have got a more precious book of travels in the Acts of the Apostles and in the story of your blessed Lord and Master. You have no time for prayer, but the Spirit sees you very active about worldly things and having many hours to spare for relaxation and amusement. And then he's grieved because he sees that you love worldly things better than you love him." He also wrote this. This is still Spurgeon. "Although the word grieve is a painful one, yet there's honey in the rock. For it is an inexpressibly delightful thought that he who rules heaven and earth and is the creator of all things and the infinite and ever-blessed God condescends to enter into such infinite relationships with his people that his divine mind may be affected by their actions. What a marvel that deity should be said to grieve over the faults of being so utterly insignificant as we are." In other words, the fact that we can grieve God tells us something about how much he cares about us, how much we mean to him, how much he loves us. It's amazing. Spurgeon also wrote this, "Sin everywhere must be displeasing to the Spirit of holiness, but sin in his own people is grievous to him in the highest degree. He will not hate his people, but he does hate their sins and hates them all the more because they nestle in his children's bosoms. The Spirit would not be the Spirit of truth if he could approve of that which is false in us. He would not be pure if that which is impure in us did not grieve him." So once again, Spurgeon has a way with words, doesn't he? He communicates so powerfully what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." So he lists some things here that we need to understand. Bitterness comes when we refuse to forgive. By the way, if you're interested, I've also got a Questions with Grandpa video on YouTube on forgiveness. But we have to learn to forgive others. God's forgiven us, and we must and will forgive others when we realize that we've been forgiven by God. The word wrath in the Greek is a word thumos, that speaks of an outburst. You know, it happens quickly. Someone who boils over with just passion all of a sudden. It kind of pictures an explosion, you know, only it's an explosion of temper. The Greek word for anger, the next word in the list, is orge. And that kind of anger is more of a settled disposition toward anger. With this word, you can picture a person who just kind of seethes, you know what I mean? They've got this anger and they're smoldering and it's there and it's very clear. It's just not an explosion. It's still sinful. The word for clamor is talking about loud quarreling, contentious arguing. The word for slander is the word that we get our word blasphemy from. It's straight from that word. And it refers to just saying bad things about others, tearing down the reputations of others. When it refers to what people say about God, we call it blasphemy. When we're saying it about other people, we call it slander. Malice refers to hatred. It's a desire to see other people get hurt somehow. So God says, if we belong to Him and we allow His Spirit to work in us, we're going to be very, very different. We're not going to be like that. He's going to change us. We're not going to do it in our own strength. It's going to be Him working in us, but He's going to change us. And so in verse 32, He says, be kind to one another. Instead of being like this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Listen, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. What's He saying? He's saying, look, think about how God has treated you. Think about how God is treating you. And then just learn to be a little bit more like Him. Treat others as God treats us. And when we're filled with His Holy Spirit, He'll do that through us. So, Father, we ask You to do that through us. We want You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit. We certainly do not want to in any way grieve Your precious Holy Spirit. Father, thank You for loving us this much. Thank You for making it clear to us how much we mean to You that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. And yet, Lord, we know we can do things that grieve You. So would You please help us to internalize this well and fill us with Yourself and then produce through us kindness and graciousness and tenderheartedness and compassion and a heart that's quick to forgive when someone hurts us. We want to be more like You. So please help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.